We've been talking about Moses here the last few weeks. If you have a Bible, you want to turn, follow along with me. Exodus chapter 12 is where we'll start out with. We've been talking about the Hebrew children. Moses, we kind of went over Moses' story a little bit the other day, and we're going to kind of continue on the rest of the week with these guys. But I want to ask y'all a question, and the question, and I think it's a rhetorical answer, is, have you ever forgot something? Yeah, Rob's back there. Rob says, no, I've never forgot anything in his life, right? I forget all the things all the time. I've been married 20 years. I don't have to remember anything anymore. My wife just tells me, you know, she's like, these are the things that you need to know, right? So I've given up on any self-will and self-control for me to actually remember anything is gone. But I remember this one time my wife and I were in San Antonio, Texas, and we were walking along, you know, the river walk down there, and I looked up and there was this clock, really big mechanical clock on the corner of the Riverwalk in San Antonio, Texas. And I looked at this thing and I said, this is the most out of place thing. I mean, it's just this giant, big, old mechanical clock. It's like sitting on a pole in the middle of the road. And so I'm walking around, I look at it and I'm reading about it, and they got a placard on it, some sort of historical clock. It was made by some guy, and it was the first clock that ever, you know, tracked time this way. The clock's like 130 years old. And I mean, it was a really neat thing, you know, kind of out of place. But a couple months later go by, and I was telling my wife, I was like, hey, you see that big clock? We were in Charlotte. I said, you see that big clock? And she goes, yeah. I said, it's just like the one we saw in Galveston, wasn't it? And she's like, no, honey, we didn't see it in Galveston. We saw it in San Antonio. I said, no, it was in Galveston. I know it was in Galveston. I was so adamant about it being in Galveston. And she said, here, let me show you the picture. And she took the picture, and sure enough, there it was. It said San Antonio right on it. And my point to all that is we forget things, right? Time goes on. We get older, you know. And the older we get, some of us, we just kind of like, yeah, you know what, I'll go wherever someone tells me, and wherever I smell food, I'll walk in that direction. And you know, we kind of just forget things as time goes on. It's inherent to humans that we forget things. We get older, and life passes us on, and there's new things to remember, and we kind of flush and forget some of the older things. And, you know, we change jobs, we change careers, and those things we used to remember, we don't use those anymore, so we kind of flush those things. And we have a tendency as humans just to forget things in general, some of us more than others. But anyway, we're talking about the Hebrew nation here, the children of Israel, God's chosen people, the Jews. And I just want to give a quick recap on kind of where we've been the last few nights up to tonight. And we're talking about the Israelites, and they're in bondage in Egypt. And they've been in bondage for Egypt for about 400 years now. Pharaoh has had free labor. He has these indentured servants. And we know that he's rough to them. The Bible says that he puts taskmasters over them, right? He forces them into hard labor. And this has gone on for about 400 years for the Israelites. But the Bible also tells us they've multiplied in population. It says they've waxed mightily during this time. If we remember when they first go into Egypt, there's only 70 souls, the Bible tells us, and now there's upwards to maybe as many as 2 million or more Hebrews there now. And at this point where we're going to pick up tonight, and we all know this historical account in the Bible that's given to us, there's been 9 plagues that happened, and we're going to start with the 10th one. But there's been 9 plagues that God has sent on Pharaoh to show that he's God. It's twofold purpose. One, it shows to the Israelites that there is a sovereign God. And two, it shows to Egypt that there is a sovereign God. So both people in this point in time, they could see there's a sovereign God. There's been 9 plagues that have happened. If you all remember, some of them are the frogs. Some of them are the water to blood. You all remember those as they go on. And we're going to go here tonight, and we're going to kind of read about the crescendo, the piece of resistance, if you will, for these plagues. And it starts here in Exodus chapter 12, and we're going to read verses 29 through 33. Exodus chapter 12, and the Bible says in verse number 29, "And it came to pass that at midnight the Lord smote all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, from the firstborn of Pharaoh that sat on his throne unto the firstborn of the captive that was in the dungeon, and all the firstborn of the cattle. And Pharaoh rose up in the night, he and all his servants and all the Egyptians, and there was a great cry in Egypt, for there was not a house where there was not one dead. And he called for Moses and Aaron by night, and said, "Rise up and get you forth from among my people, both ye and the children of Israel, and go serve the Lord as ye have said. Also take your flocks and your herds as ye have said, and be gone, and bless me also." And the Egyptians were urgent upon the people that they might send them out of the land in haste. For they said, "We be all dead men." Now the tenth plague that God sends down on Pharaoh and the Egyptians, it's the death of the firstborn in the house. And it goes even further than that. As we read the scripture, it says that there's the cattle die as well, right? God sends this final plague. This is the tenth one. This is the one that really Pharaoh's like, okay, enough's enough. I've had the frogs. I've had the blood to water. I've had all these plagues. Now you guys go. You guys go. This is a major event. This is God's way of showing not only to the Egyptians that he is God and sovereign, but also to the children of Israel that there is one true God. The things that God's been telling them are true. He says, hey, I'm going to deliver you from Pharaoh. I'm going to deliver you from Egypt. And it's now to the point where this is going to happen. The promise that God made him is about to come true. But God knows the human tendency in nature. With time, the Israelites would soon forget this miracle. One generation comes, one generation goes. The things that my grandparents remembered about a president or a time or an event or something, my parents will soon forget. And then eventually I'll soon forget. And then eventually get to my kids where they don't remember it at all. But God doesn't want us to forget this. He doesn't want us to forget what he's done for us. So before this 10th plague, God gives Moses specific commandments to ensure the Israelites don't forget this. There's specific things he tells me. He says, I'm about to do this, and there's certain things that I want you to do to make sure you don't forget this. So let's flip back a little bit. Before the plague happens, this is what God tells Moses and the children of Israel. Same chapter, same book, Exodus 12. And in verse number 14, the Bible says, "And this day shall be upon you for a memorial, and ye shall keep it a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. Ye shall keep it a feast by an accordance forever." God starts out here. He says, this is how I want you to remember what's about to happen. He says, "You shall keep it a feast to the Lord throughout your generations." It wasn't just, hey, you guys, you all, the group that sees this happen, you all remember it. He says, throughout the generations you remember it. And then look at the end of verse number 14. He says, you're going to do this forever, the Bible says. Now look down at verse number 17. "And ye shall observe the feast of unleavened bread. For in this selfsame day have I brought your armies out of the land of Egypt. Therefore shall ye observe this day in your generations by an ordinance forever." We see the same verbiage here, right? God said it twice now in two different verses. Let's look at verse number 24 through 27. The Bible says, "And ye shall observe this thing for an ordinance to thee and to thy sons forever. And it shall come to pass when ye become to the land which the Lord will give you, according to he hath promised, that ye shall keep this service. And it shall come to pass when your children say, when your children shall say unto you, what mean ye by this service?" Now look in verse number 27, "that ye shall say, it is the sacrifice of the Lord's Passover, who passed over the houses of the children of Israel in Egypt, when he smote the Egyptians and delivered our houses, and the people bowed the head and worshiped." Now, to ensure that the Israelites would not forget this salvation, this deliverance from Pharaoh, this deliverance from this hard bondage, this deliverance so they can go to the land that God has promised them, he wants to make sure that they don't forget this salvation. This is salvation that came onto these people. They were saved from the hard taskmasters that they were under in Egypt. And we know now that this is the Passover, or is referred to as the Feast of the Passover. And this is the time God gives Moses specific commandments on how to take the Passover, when to take the Passover. But it's noticed to me, if you will, how many times in these few verses God commands the Israelites to keep the Passover forever. Look at verse 14 again. It says, "And this day shall be unto you for a memorial." He says, this is a memorial. This is your 4th of July. This is your Independence Day. This is the day that you are going to remember this salvation. This should be a memorial. This should be something that's celebrated and honored and remembered. Towards the end of verse 14 of Exodus chapter 12, the Bible says, "Ye shall keep it a feast by ordinance," it says, "forever." Forever is definitive, right? That's a time. Forever is definitive. It's a long time. It's like forever, right? He says, you do this forever, right? Don't give up on this. Look at verse 17, about halfway through this verse. The Bible says, therefore shall ye observe this day in your generations by an ordinance forever, right? He says, your generations. It's not just you who gets delivered from salvation. It's not just you who receives this salvation. He says, but the generations that follow you should know about this salvation that's coming. And you do this forever. I think God wants the Israelites to keep this feast. I believe he wants them to remember what God did for them. But just to make sure, let's look at verse number 24. It says, and ye shall observe this thing for an ordinance to thee and to thy sons forever. He's repeated it again now. We've seen this forever, forever. Your generations, your sons, your children, forever and ever. I'm almost convinced that God wants the Israelites to remember this, right? This is almost convinced, right? But we're not quite sure. Let's look at verse 25. The Bible says that you shall keep this service. I'm convinced now, right? Four times in a matter of a few verses, God has told them, keep this commandment. Keep this commandment. Remember this forever. This memorial. Let the generations that come after you remember this over and over. And the question now, though, is why? Why does God want the Israelites to remember this deliverance he has brought to them? They know that they're going to be delivered. We saw Pharaoh's told him, he said, get out of here. Take your cattle to please. The Bible says that the Egyptians urgently want you to go, right? They're all lining up. Get out of town. Get out of town. Lest we're all dead. Get out of here. The Israelites are going to remember this. They've had 400 years of bondage and hard labor, and now there's the salvation for them to be free. And the question is why does God want them to remember this so much? I mean, they'll remember it, right? Let's look at verse number 27. It says, and delivered our houses in verse number 27. This is why God wants the children of Israel to remember the Passover. God delivered. He provided a way of salvation and redemption. And this is the key about all this, is that the Israelites could not obtain for themselves. That's salvation in a nutshell right there, is God doing something for us that we couldn't do ourselves. These Israelites have been in bondage for 400 years. The Bible says they've had taskmasters put over them. Pharaoh's killing the firstborn males of their families. They can't go anywhere. They can't get free. They're made to do this hard labor. Obviously, they couldn't have salvation on their own. God had to deliver it. And he says, I want you to remember this. I've done something for you that you could not do on your own. He didn't want the Israelites to forget about this salvation that had been given to them. And this leads us to the topic of tonight is, do we remember what God has done for us? And how do we keep this remembrance? First, we have to remember what God's done for us. We've talked about that a lot, and we all know the answer to that is he saved us, right? I was born a sinner. I know if my wife were here, she would 100% agree. Like, there would be confirmation right there. Yeah, this guy's done wrong, right? My wife would be, my dad's here tonight. And if my mom were here, she would even agree with my wife probably even more than I did, because one of them knew me when I was dumb, and the other one knew me when I was dumber, you know? So they can both tell you, this guy's done some dumb stuff, right? This guy's a sinner. But do I remember what God's done for me? And that's what the point that God wants us to remember is that after a while, when we've known God, we've had this relationship with God, we have a tendency to kind of forget what God saved us from, right? God saved the Israelites from bondage, a life of servitude that they couldn't get freedom from on their own, and he brought it to them. Let's look at Exodus chapter 12, and let's look at verses 12 and 13. The Bible says, for I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both men and beast, and against all gods of Egypt. I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. So one of the first ways that we can do this to remember God is interesting in verse number 13. It says, and the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. The plague shall not be upon you to destroy you. As Christians, we have a tendency to kind of forget what God saved us from. On the night, the 10th plague, verse 13 makes it clear that both the firstborn of the Israelites and the Egyptians were going to die if blood wasn't shed. God was very willing that night of the Passover, he would have took the lives of the firstborn of the Israelites. He says so in his word. It wasn't just, hey, the Egyptians are going to get this, right? But it was everyone. All of us were at one point in time doomed before God gave us salvation. And so one of the first ways we can start to remember that is, you know what, I may be saved and been saved for a long time, but I'm thankful to God, and I want to remember that at one point in time, I wasn't saved. And I had a home that wasn't at heaven with God. This is significant because, not only because the Israelites are God's chosen people, but God's son was born an Israelite. He was a Jew. And he was willing to say, hey, the Israelites are sinners just like everyone else. There is no person that has salvation on their own. No matter how good we are, no matter how much things we do, God doesn't play favoritism. All of us are equal in his sight. We're all born sinners, and God saves us and gives us a home in heaven. But this is where people often go astray, though. They think that because they're a good person, because they coach their kids' sports team, or they donate to the Santa Claus that rings the bell at Walmart during wintertime, you know, you give money, or we do bake sales, or we help in our church, or we're in the community and we're involved there, or we go out and we vote. People feel that they're generally a good person, and God is somehow going to just look at that and say, oh, you're okay, come on in. Come on into heaven. It's okay, come on in. But God was willing that night to kill the firstborn of his own people. Why? Because we're sinners. We've all done something wrong. The Israelites had done something wrong. They needed that salvation that God has given to us. God could have killed the firstborn of the Israelites that night. This is the same as he did the firstborn of the Egyptians. Because every person on earth has done something wrong, and some of us arguably more than others, but everyone has sinned, and sin keeps us from God. He's a perfect God. He's a righteous God. He's done nothing wrong, and we can't have that home in heaven one day if we haven't accepted him and the salvation that he provides. Before we come to know God as our Savior, we are destined to an eternity without God in a place called hell, the same as the Israelites and the Hebrew and the Egyptians were. They had done things wrong. Their home was far from God. They weren't going to be with God one day. On this night, though, God provides salvation from death to those who believe. The application of the blood on the doorposts was soon to be one day New Testament version of God coming and shedding his blood for us. This was things to be set up in the future, was the shedding of the blood. And he provided redemption through us through salvation. And he does not want us to forget that. He doesn't want us to forget what he did for us. I remember one time I was, it was the summer between my 8th and 9th grade year of high school, and our high school basketball coach asked me and two other guys to come start practicing with the varsity basketball team. And it was in the summertime, so school hadn't started, so technically I was an 8th grader still. But, you know, this was back in the, high school was different then. Seniors in high school had like a rite of passage where they pummeled freshmen. I mean, we all remember those times when the senior got to pick on the freshman, right? That was part of being a senior. That was the good time you got to have, was picking on freshmen. So me and this one other freshman, we show up and we're practicing. And the kid who was the starting point guard, I somehow got the unlucky task of guarding him. And so I was guarding him in this practice. We were running some drills, and I knocked the ball away from him, and I was going to go steal it from him, and I got pretty close to it, right? Well, he did not like that. He did not like this scrawny freshman taking the ball from him in front of the coach, right? And so he pushes me. Like, I mean, just two-hand pushes me. And I rear back like I'm going to punch him. Now, in truth, I had already thought through this in my head. This guy would have killed me if I would have slugged him. I mean, I would have probably got one good shot in, but that would have been it. I was done, right? This guy would have pummeled me. I'd have been the little puddle on the ground in a cartoon if this guy would have got a hold of me, you know? But I remember the center of that team, he was a senior also, his name was Todd, and he came over and he grabbed him, and he was my savior. He provided my safety, and I never forget that. I mean, this was over 20 years ago that this happened to me, but I remember that guy saving me from taking a beating that I would never forget, right? I remember that. He was a salvation. He provided something for me I couldn't do on my own. And that's why God is so, he tells the Israelites so many times, remember this forever. Your generation should remember that, because he provided something that we could not get on our own. Back to our topic tonight, though, do we remember what God has done for us? You say, Jason, I'm thankful and I remember what God delivered me from. I'm thankful for salvation. And that leads us to the last part of our lesson. How do we keep in remembrance what God has done for us? Let's see what God commanded the Israelites to do so they would not forget this salvation. Let's look at Exodus chapter 12, and we're going to read a few verses here.
This is kind of a longer passage here. We're going to read the first 11 verses here of Exodus chapter 12. And verse number 1, the Bible says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, This month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you." So he's giving them a specific time that they're going to have this feast go on. It says, "Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, In the 10th day of this month, they shall take to them every man a lamb according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for an house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it according to the number of the souls. Every man according to his eating shall make your count for the lamb." I just want to stop right here. At the first few verses, God tells them, says, this is what you're going to do. You're going to, at this specific time, like July 4th for us, you're going to take this lamb. But the next few verses are kind of funny to me because the lamb is to go into the house with the people, right? Thankfully, I'm not here because I don't want a little lamb running around my house that I've got to share my house with, right? Verse number 5, "Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. You shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats. And ye shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. And they shall take the blood and strike it upon the two side posts and on the upper door post of the house wherein they shall eat it. And they shall eat the flesh in that night, roast with fire and unleavened bread and with bitter herbs, and shall eat it. Eat not of it raw, nor sodden at all with water, but roast with fire, his head with his legs, and with the pertinence thereof. And ye shall let nothing of it remain until the morning, and that which remaineth of it until the morning ye shall burn with fire. And thus shall ye eat it, with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand, and ye shall eat it in the haste. It is the Lord's Passover." I mean, there's some very specific things that are given here, right? As we look through this, there are very specific things that they're told how to do this. They're told the exact day to do this. They're told exactly how to prepare this lamb. They're told exactly how to eat this lamb. They're told if it's not all eaten, that they burn the remainder of the lamb. They're told to put the blood on the doorpost. I mean, it's very specific things here. And what we're looking at is how do we remember what God's done for us? But what we see in these verses are specific instructions for them not to forget this salvation. This is a very specific feast, a very specific Passover that they're given. And God has given specific instructions so that we don't forget what He's done for us. The Israelites had these specific instructions, this Passover feast, the preparation of it, how they did this, and they were to carry this on from generation to generation so they wouldn't forget God and His salvation. And one of the ways we can do this and we can remember what God's done for us is by attending church and participating in the Lord's Supper. And these are just two ways to remember what God's done for us. In our first lesson of the week, I kind of touched on some of the hot topics that swirl around us today. Inflation, there's the war in Ukraine, there's high gas prices, there's diseases, all these things go on around us. And throughout the week, these events kind of begin to wear on us, right? They begin to kind of pile on us. And then we have what goes on in our own life, right? A sick spouse, a sick child, a wayward child, bills are due, health, all these things. And so you have all these things kind of, we talked about, just kind of piling up on you. And one way to remember what God has done to you is to be faithful to church. Think about coming to church, though, and think about how God has set this up for us so that we don't forget Him. When you come to church, someone greets you at the door, right? They say, "Hey, good to see you. Hope you're having a good day." Hopefully the greeter's mostly medicated, so, you know, they don't, like, you know, do anything weird or whatever. You know, we don't want any kind of weird things going on, right? But you come to church and someone greets you and they ask you how your day is. And we're all nice people, right? We don't unload on. We don't say, "My boss just made me work 14 hours yesterday. I was almost done with this thing. And then he came in and said, do it all over again. And I had to go back." No, we don't unload on the greeter, right? But there's someone nice here at the door to greet us. There is a smiling face. They greet us in. Next thing you know, you come in and you sit down in your seat. Maybe a few other Christian folks come by. Maybe several other folks come by. They ask you how you're doing, ask you how your kids are, ask you how things are going, and you have a little bit of a conversation with them. And then the pastor, hopefully, he gets a chance to walk around and greet you, right? And the pastor greets you there. And then the service starts. There's the congregational singing about our Lord, the remembering what He's done for us, the singing His praises. songs to the Lord, how great He is, how great salvation is. And then the choir sings a song of praise. And then the pastor brings a message from God's Word. All right? And all this goes on, and our worries are left behind. All the things that swirl around the world that impact us day in and day out, they're out. And all we're doing is here is to focus on and try to become closer to God. And this is one way that God has set up for us to be able to remember Him, is for us to get together as Christians, as like-minded believers, and remember what He's done. He set up, He sanctified the church for us to do this, to be able to come here and encourage one another and have a moment where we're not in the world and we're not worried about, oh my goodness, gas is $5 a gallon. Holy smokes, how am I going to make it? And I need some bananas for the kids for school. And you know, bananas are probably $1 a piece now. You know, I don't know what's going on with the price of groceries, but those things impact us. And then we're able to come into church and we're able to say, hey, you know what? God's good. He's delivered us from, He's given us salvation. Pretty soon our focus is no longer on the topics of the day, but at a church that's focused on God and what He's done for us. Amen. The Lord's Supper is another good way to remember what God has done for us. Our communion table is not up here because of the decorations, but most communion tables at the beginning of them, they have something that says, this do in remembrance of me, right? And we take that Lord's Supper and we take that little unleavened bread and we take that little grape juice and we remember God's sacrifice that He made for us on the cross. And we do that in church so that we can remember, you know what? God is good to us. God is good to us. Every one of us are here tonight. And as soon as we leave, we'll have things that go on in our lives. But we're able to come in here for a little while tonight and just look and say, you know what? God delivered the Israelites. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And that same God can deliver us, and He cares for us, and He wants us to remember that because it's so easy to forget these things. We need to be in our church, and we need to hear and remember what God's done for us. We need to be in church so we can gain perspective. Yes, the world around us is in trouble, and we live in a world that doesn't know God. But in church, we're reminded of what God has done for us. Amen. So a challenge for us tonight as we close up here, do we remember what God did for us? Do we remember what God's done for us? For some of us, as we become saved, I know I was saved as a very young man. I've been saved for over 30 years now, and you kind of forget about that situation. I'm a little kid, right? What's the worst I did as a little kid, right? All the moms know, you know, I mean, you know what little boys do, right? We mess with our sister, we punch our brother, we take the cookie out of the jar where we're not supposed to. Right? I didn't murder anybody. I wasn't robbing banks. I wasn't, you know, driving around drunk or anything. I was a little kid, right? But as a little kid, and I got saved, as time goes on, I can forget, even as a little kid, I was doomed to a place called hell without God's salvation. Do we remember what God's done for us? And the last question and last part of my challenge for you tonight is this. Will you be faithful to remember what He's done for you, right? Will we, as has been spoken tonight, will we spend our time with God and let Him become real to us? Will we come to church? Church is something that a lot of times takes effort, right? We get done working all day. We got to run home and take a shower. We got to eat. We got to get the kids in the car. We got to get to church. And sometimes just the whole logistics of getting to church sometimes is a challenge, right? But we need to be here because we need to remember. So my challenge for us is, will we be here in church? Will we have a fellowship with God? And will we remember what He's done for us? Because He has done a lot for us. All of us are lucky to be here tonight. Things could have gone any number of ways. You pass people on the roads all the time as you're driving up here. And I mean, I think turn signals, like vehicles that are sold in Mecklenburg County, I think they have optional turn signals in their cars because I think they just, you know, wherever they want to go is where the car goes, right? And we're lucky to be here tonight. I mean, just little things like that. So my challenge for us tonight is, let's remember what God's done for us. Let's be faithful to church and say, hey, God, I remember what You did for me. I want to come here and I want to praise You and remember what You've done for me tonight.